Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
The title of today's sermon is called Tested by Fire. Tested by Fire. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege of being your children. As we come before you, Lord, we lack wisdom. We lack the character of which you call us to have. But we come to you because you can give us these things. And in your word, there is truth and there is life. So may you teach it to us is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll go with me to John chapter 16, John chapter 16 and verse 31. John chapter 16 and verse 31. John chapter 16 and verse 31. Before we read the scripture there and the Bible text, it is very important to remember that in John chapter 16, Jesus, here on earth, is wrapping up his work. He's getting ready to end his public ministry. In John chapter 17, he has the prayer of unity for his disciples and for you and me, those that will believe. In John chapter 18, God is about to face the greatest trial of his life. From then on, things will not be the same again. And in John chapter 16, that is the closing, so to speak, remark of his public ministry. He's about to end it all, and here he is talking to the masses. More specifically, as well, to his disciples. John chapter 16, verse 31, the Bible says it this way. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each one to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." As we're looking into this passage much closer, we see that when Jesus is giving this message to his disciples have all sorts of ideas going through their mind of how the end would be. In their mind, some of them thought that it would be a glorious end where Jesus would decide to take the throne of David. They were expecting something great from God. And Jesus understood that some will be greatly disappointed. He continues, he says in verse 31, he says, Jesus answers them, "Do you now believe? Do you now believe?" What Jesus was trying to ask them was really the question, "Do you believe in my life, in my ministry, in what I'm going to do?" You know, it's interesting, whenever Jesus asks a question, he already knows the answer. The first question Jesus asked, we see it in Genesis, and it was to Adam and Eve. He said, "Where are you?" Do you think God knew where they were? Yeah, he knew where they were. But the question was really for them to think about it. God still asks us the same question from time to time. He says, "Where are you? Where are you?" In this case, Jesus is asking the disciples because something is about to happen, and he tells them, "Do you now believe?" Jesus, wanting to prepare them, says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each one to his own, and will leave me," what, my friends? "Alone." Over the course of this week, months, this year really started with a lot of exciting things and a lot of challenges. For some, they have lost their loved ones. For some, there is anxiety about the future. For some, there's health, and there are all sorts of things going on. And for some, the pain is one that you will have to experience, so to speak, alone. I remember last week I visited a former member, not former in the sense that they left the church, but I used to be their pastor. I traveled over there, and it was quite a bit away, and this lady was very special to me, as all my members are. But this one, really, she caught my attention because for 12 years she would not give her life to the Lord. Here she was now, she had given her life to the Lord, and she was dying of cancer. She was a very strong woman, and her family loved her a lot, and I decided to travel over there to see her just last week. As I saw her, everybody was there, and she was greatly loved, but I realized that the pain that she was going through was one that she only could experience alone. Whatever words we were going to say, whatever we were going to do, she was grateful. But cancer is one of those things that sometimes you go through it alone. She passed away yesterday, and her husband gave me a call. And I remember thinking about it, and thinking about all those things that sometimes in life we might feel like we experience things alone. You might be at this moment in your experience feeling that nobody really can understand what you're going through. And it might be true. But praise the Lord, verse 32 does not end there. It says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each one to his own, and will leave me alone." Jesus there is referring to what event, my friends? The beginning of the process of the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. And indeed, they left him alone. But praise the Lord, the Bible continues. It says, "And yet I am" what, my friends? "I am not alone. Because the Father is" where, my friends? "He's with me." You might feel that you're alone, but God will always be with you. The experience of Christ was very human. As a matter of fact, we know that before the cross, the one thing that he longed for was a very human thing. What did Jesus long for in the Garden of Gethsemane? You can talk to your pastor. Companionship. Did Jesus know he had the angels around him? Yes. Did he know that the Father was there? Yes. But he wanted something that was very human to us, and he wanted his friends, his disciples. He told them, "Can't you just pray? Watch for 1 hour with me." They were willing, but soon the anesthesia of the night took them away in sound sleep. He longed for companionship, but he realized that this was one of those things that he will have to go it without friendship. He will have to go through it, and he will have to bear a test and trial that none of us will ever have to bear. But in the midst of all of these things, Jesus realized in his humanity that the Father understands, and he will never be alone. You and I today, we might be overwhelmed. It is human And those that we expected to be there by our side might not show up. But remember, in the Word of God, God is there with you. He will sustain you, and He will never leave you. Jesus, understanding that fact and bathing into that reality, Ellen White actually tells us what He was thinking in His mind. It was a tradition in Jewish tradition that as they were going to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible tells us that they sang a song. You remember that part? They sang a hymn together. As they were going there, and it was the tradition that in the Jewish culture, they would sing especially Psalm 118 and Psalm 117. They would repeat the song, especially of Psalm 117. And do you want to know what Jesus was singing? Go with me to Psalm 117. It reveals what was on his mind. Psalm 117. For you today, that is extra credit because you know it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 117. It is just two verses. Psalm 117. The Bible puts it this way. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you people." But notice the second verse. "For His merciful kindness is what, my friends? Great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endures for how long? Forever. Praise the Lord." As the senses of Christ were all being tested, as everything in His experience in humanity was put to the fire, the one thing God held on to is that the truth of the Lord endures forever. You and I, my friends, you might not be going through a crisis at this moment, but a crisis will come, and our senses will be tested. Christ in His humanity, everything was tested. But what Christ relied on was the Word of what, my friends? The Word of God. The truth of the Lord will endure forever. Whatever I might feel, whatever I might think, the Bible is a sure foundation. Amen? And though we're shaken on every side, tested by fire, we have a sure foundation. And just to make sure that God was not leaving them in fear, without hope, He inserts there in John chapter 16, verse 33, verse 33. Praise the Lord, God did not end there. You know, it is one thing to say, "I am with you." It is one thing to say, "God is with you." But Jesus leaves them with a sure foundation of hope. He tells them ahead of time, He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have what, my friends? You may have life, or you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation." I love the Word of God. Could you imagine going through life without the Word of God? Could you imagine going through life not knowing that there's one who can give you peace? That there's one who can warn you ahead of time about the dangers lying ahead? That there's one who loves you so much? Could you imagine going through life and thinking everything in life depends upon you? The weight of responsibility. Jesus tells them in verse 33, He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have what, my friends? You may have peace." It is interesting here in America when you watch Tornado Alley. All I know is that be careful if you want to live in Arkansas. My sister lives in Arkansas. She loves it there. But the one thing that has kept me away from Arkansas is that they have some serious tornadoes. By the way, Arkansas is a beautiful place. You should visit it sometime. They have some really interesting landscape. But it's interesting, in the midst of a storm, in the eye of the storm, there is perfect peace. As a storm goes on and it ravages back and forth, in the center of it all, there is peace. There's calm. Jesus here in verse 33 is not telling them that I'm going to remove all the tribulation away from you. He doesn't tell them that, well, you won't be challenged. What he tells them is that these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. You see, peace that Jesus promises can only be found in who? Look at the words of God very carefully. The peace that you need in the storm can only be found in Jesus. If you're honest with yourself when you're in the storm, it is very hard to be at peace. In my life, when faced with the rumors of war and the real wars, when you're seeing and you're hearing the rage of men through the rages of the weapons around you, it is very hard to manufacture peace. But Jesus says, you don't have to manufacture this peace. I will give it to you. In the eye of the storm, there's Jesus, and he holds us together. Tribulation will come, but Jesus will give you peace. And when you keep your eyes at the center of Jesus Christ, whatever is happening around you, yes, there's a crisis, but Jesus will hold you together. And the reason why he says this to us in verse 33 again, he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what, my friends? Tribulation. Now, if people were to read the Bible, they will understand that we don't have such a thing as the prosperity gospel. Just because you give a lot of money to the church doesn't mean you will have peace. Or you'll be free of trials and tribulation. At the same time, because you don't give money to the church doesn't mean that you won't go through a crisis or you'll face a crisis. Now, you'll augment your chances of a crisis. But it doesn't matter what you do or what you say or what you experience or how good of a Christian you might appear or I might appear before other people, tribulation will come. I got to say this as well, that if you do things God's way, there's a lot of blessing there. There's a lot of heartache you will avoid. There's a lot of challenges you will avoid. There's a lot of trials and tribulation you will avoid. But just because you're faithful doesn't mean tribulations won't come. But when they do come, the Bible says it this way, be of good cheer. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. It is interesting there that Jesus says here, it says, be of good cheer. Now that sounds ironic. Some people might say, well, God probably does not understand what I'm going through. My bills are being due. My health is not good. My marriage is struggling. Maybe my family seems to be falling apart. Yet God tells me in the Word of God, he says, when tribulation comes, what is the next clause, my friends? Oh, I hope I didn't put you to sleep. It says what? Be of good cheer. Now, is God asking the disciples to do something supernatural? You know, my little boy today, he was very disappointed at my wife. He's not feeling too well, but the reason why he was disappointed is because he did not want water in his cup. And my wife, realizing that he does need to drink water, put water in his cup. Now, when my little boy realized that mama put water in his cup, he was not of good cheer. He started to cry. He was very mad. He was not happy. And his little two-year-old self, he was not a happy camper. Now, what happens if Papa came to him and told him, Liam, be of good cheer? He would have looked at me and thought, man, my dad, I already thought he was, you know, something else, but really, this is something else. Now, we must understand that God really knows us. And God's commandments are also His enabling. When God is there telling to His disciples, knowing what they're about to face, we must understand that the word that God uses for a cheer can also be translated as joy. You see, in the Bible, the word for happiness can only be found about 15 times or so. The Bible says, be happy, about 15 times. But the word for joy or cheer can be found hundreds of times in the Bible. You might have heard this before, but it's important to emphasize because happiness depends upon happenings. My wife is happy, I am happy. My kids are happy. Wow, it's good. It depends upon happenings. But joy is a choice, an attitude of gratefulness. I might be going through the greatest crisis of my life, but God is still in His throne. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what will happen to me, but I know who holds the future. I might be in tremendous pain right now, but I know that God is a great healer. I might be struggling in my walk with the Lord, and I might not be able to see things God's way, but I know He's leading the way. I might not have strength, but I know God has all the strength I need. You see, being of good cheer is not saying just be happy. It is saying I choose to be grateful. And I choose to be cheerful. And in case the disciples, at this point in their experience, God wanted to give them an even more surer foundation, He tells them in the last clause, He says, be of good cheer. For what, my friends? I have overcome the world. Everything you face in this life, God has overcome. The sickness that you're facing, God has overcome it. It's just a matter of timing. Because my Bible tells me in Revelation, there will be a place where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness. For those former things have done what, my friends? They have passed away. Has Jesus overcome death? Yes, He has. Has Jesus overcome the trials and tribulations of life? Yes, He has. Has Jesus overcome everything that the world can throw at us? Yes, He has. It is just an issue of timing. And how we reconcile that issue of timing, it's called faith. To rest upon the Word of God and to take God at His Word. That is what Jesus did in His greatest tribulation and trial. When He was faced with the cross and in His most extreme fire. I mean, I don't know anybody here, but it's interesting that humankind is very interesting. There are some people in the Philippines, for example, who want to experience the full pain of the cross. And actually, crucifixions still happen today. There's a region in the Philippines where men literally get crucified. They want to experience the cross, but here's the problem. None of those men have the weight of all the sins of the world placed upon them. None of them understand the magnitude and the horror of sin. But that was God's lot. And he took it all for you and me, amen? But what he relied on, even in the moment of his greatest testing, which was on the cross, when he could not feel the presence of his Father, he relied on the Word of God. Because he knew what God said, he will do. Today, my friends, as we end our time together, remember that your Lord has overcome the world. And that whatever comes your way, I don't know what the future holds, but I want to point you today to the one that holds the future. And he does not fail. Rest your best emotions on Jesus. Your hopes and dreams, place them on the foundation of his altar. And when the storms, rages of life come our way, God will keep us in perfect peace because our eyes are upon him. As I end our sermon for today, is there something in your life that has shaken your faith? Are you right now going through the crucible of life? And you have even started to question, does God really care about me? Maybe for some of you that is not the question, but you might say, how long? That is the question of the saints, right? How long? How long? Today God is telling you from his word, I will give you peace. For I have overcome the world. Today, God is also calling you to be of good cheer, to be grateful, because in due time, all of these things will pass away. In a simple nutshell, it is, are you willing to trust God with your life? If that is your desire, I'll invite you to pray with me, and in my prayer, I'll give you some time. Where you can go to God and tell him exactly what's in your heart. God understands, and he wants you to tell him. You might say at this time, well, God knows everything in my heart. He does, but he wants you to say it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus, as he was talking to his disciples here in John chapter 16, the test of fire indeed came, and his disciples indeed, they left him. But he was not alone, and you were there with him. But the sin that he bore on the cross separated him from you. And in the midst of all of that, Father, Jesus relied on the Word of God. Today, Father, some of us might be going through a crisis. Some maybe we're going through a different type of trial. But we want to place all of our cares upon your feet. And dear Heavenly Father, you know the language of our heart. As we've placed all of these trials and tribulation at your feet, may we leave it there. And may we rest in the promise of peace that you give to us. And may you give us strength to face tomorrow with good cheer and with great hope, because our Redeemer draws near. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.